Log Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Lane Keys Real Talk. This is the UFC 290 pre-show. It's massive, and we're going to get into predictions here in a minute. A whole bunch of different things. I was just watching Volkanovski while I was doing the dishes. I want to say at the media day, I almost thought they had the press conference today, but because it kind of looked the same, but I think that was just Volkanovski at the media day. And, yeah, there's a lot of good matchups with this card. I can't wait to get into it. But first, before anything, Lee, what's going on, bro? How you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. How goes it, man? You know, excited about this weekend. Big fight card coming up. Yeah, bro, we got a lot to talk about tonight.
Oh, yeah, we definitely do. You know, Volkanovski was at. He was at the media day, and, you know, they were asking him. I'll tell you this. I usually am the one saying, like, okay, you know, this guy's talking about this next fight. But Volkanovski wasn't doing that. I think, you know, I think the media, you know, they're asking about Topuria, which that is a fight I want to see eventually. But the Islam, you know, I think they were asking him a lot of those questions. But he was answering them, but you could tell that, you know, he's focused on Yair Rodriguez, which I like, you know, because you don't often see that from a lot of these guys. See a lot of guys, you know, they get caught up in what's down the line and instead of the guy across the cage on Saturday night. And, yeah, I would say what Volkanovski seems focused, bro. You know, he was answering, but he was focused. So I like to see that from him. Being that, you know, he's one of my favorite fighters, I want him to be locked in. Same thing as Whitaker. I want him to be locked in. You know, another one of my – that's probably – he might be my overall favorite. And I want Whitaker to be locked in, you know. It's – regardless of whether I feel, you know, Dracus or – I don't know how they – Duplessis, regardless of where I think he's at and if I think he's that good or not, still want Whitaker to fight him. You know, I want him to look at that as if this is my biggest fight, you know. I think that's how they should always go. Look at it like your biggest fight. Look at it as this is the biggest threat and go about it like that. Because otherwise, you know, you could get surprised by somebody. They might be, you know, they might show up way better that night or they might just be a couple notches better than you thought. And then that's when, you know, Conor McGregor said it way back. He said, you know, people say you learn from your losses, but I think you learn from your wins as well because you can get comfortable with a win. And if you sleep on a win, you'll wake up with a loss.
That's true. But, you know, the one thing, I know Volk is saying all the right stuff, but I don't like the talk of being a two-division champ, man. You can't be a two-division champ if you lose Saturday. So, man, I mean, I know, you know, he answering the questions that you know, the media going to ask him and all that good stuff. But I think he has a fair amount of respect for Yair, you know, being that, you know, Yair is definitely one of those guys. You know, he's fought his way to where he's at. But I just think Saturday, man, I just can't wait for this fight. I think Yair is going to put on a good show. I think Robert Whittaker is going to put on a good show. I think this card, being that most of the prelims, you know, they kind of okay. But that main card is definitely a banger card, man. And I think, I think that the main and the co-main event have a chance of being, you know, maybe fight of the year candidates down the road.
I mean, I'll say this. I'm actually pulling up the full card right now. Let's get UFC.com up. We know that Bo Nickel fight just changed. Bo Nickel's opponent, Trayshawn Gore, had – I don't know exactly what – if it was an injury or, you know, he couldn't get out there. I don't know what exactly it was, but I know he's out of the fight. I want to say – I feel like it, he probably had some sort of injury in training camp, Trayshawn Gore. Shout out to Trayshawn. I was actually – I like that guy. I remember I watched one of his interviews on the tough season he was on, and I like that guy, man. That's somebody that I want to see him do well in the UFC. So hopefully, you know, I wish him the best, and hopefully we can see him back in there or see him get in there soon, you know. Hopefully we can see him get in there soon. And also, let me know if my AC is coming through. Is my AC giving feedback on the audio?
No, you sound good, bro. All
right, cool, cool, cool. So, yeah, just let me know if it does, because that's, you know, I don't want it to sound like there's a tornado coming through at a certain point. So, yeah, yeah, I can't have a tornado on the mic, man. And you know, there's a lot, you know, I've had that a lot. People, you know, it's hot out here, but we don't realize. Sometimes it depends. Sometimes it'll really come through certain microphones, other ones it doesn't. But yeah, so it's, and I don't like the, and for Volkanovski, you know, I didn't get to where he was talking about the double champ, but I'm not surprised. I mean, that's pretty much all these guys nowadays. Ever since McGregor did it, everybody wants to be a double champ. And but it's also the media, too, because you see, I mean, if you know, I don't doubt that that's on his mind, but and I also don't doubt that the media is pushing that narrative, you know, because they were asking him that. When I was washing my dishes, like I said, I was watching his clip from the media day, and it was, you know, them asking him about the 135 division, asking about my boy Aljamain Sterling, and they asked him, like, oh, are you watching the 135 division? Like, what if, you know, all this? So I don't know what, you know, so both narratives are, you know, both things are at play. But regardless, it is true. You know, if you sleep on a win, you can wake up with a loss. So you can't get – and that's just on getting too comfortable too, you know, getting a little bit too content and, you know, and then looking forward to the next thing. Like you said, if he doesn't beat Yair Rodriguez on Saturday night, there is no double champ. You're not going to have one belt.
Yeah. But we do got to talk about this. Your boy, Cejudo has dropped out of 292 against Marlon Vera. Do you think they're going to find a replacement for Marlon Vera? Or do you think they're just going to move another fight up? Or you think they're going to reschedule the Cejudo-Marlon Vera fight? Because this was one of the ones that was going to happen in Boston. So that was one of the fights that we was talking about as far as being on that card and making it a banger card.
Yeah, I mean, oh, damn, I think we're getting some echo. Yeah, I'm going to put my headphones in. Okay, so, yeah, I think they'll set that one up. I think they'll get I really don't think they'll wait to reschedule. I don't really think that's, you know, the level of fight where it's like, oh, we got to, you know, make sure we reschedule this, like it's a title fight or something. I mean, and plus it's, you know, that's a month and a half away still, you know, about a month and a half away, give or take. And especially at the time that was announced, you know, it was even a little bit, you know, that was a couple of days, maybe even a week ago that was announced. So they had definitely have time. I mean, look, they even just got a guy for Bo Nickel to fight on like, what, 4 days notice, 4 or 5 days notice. I mean, the UFC is pretty good at keeping fights together. And I definitely think with that amount of time, they'll probably get him somebody that, you know, you can get almost a full camp. I mean, that might be getting cut a little bit short, but I definitely think that they want to have somebody to fill in that spot and keep that fight on there, you know, because then that way you can have backups, you know, like if they and what I do think will happen is this. I think they're going to get Peter Yan. I think that's what's going to happen. You know, I'm pretty confident that they're going to get Peter Yan and do Peter Yan and Cheeto, you know, and get that. I feel like that's really the only fight you can even do because, I mean, actually, another one they could do is get Merab on the card if they want to do Merab.
He's out.
That's yep. Yeah. What
out.
Happened?
He out. Remember, he just had surgery on. He gonna be out like 4 to 6 months.
Oh, okay. So All right, no Merab. That's true. That's true. So no Merab. So I think Peter Yan, though. I think Peter Yan, you know, he hasn't fought in a little bit. It's been a couple months since his, I want to say a month or two, 3 months since his last fight. And I think that would be plenty of time for him. And I think that makes sense. You know, him and Aljamain have fought a couple times. I think having them both on the card, they could do backups or whatever they want to do. You know, and then you have, you know, all the top bantamweights on there. Rob Font is still on the card. So they can kind of mix and match in case anything happens. But, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think they'll end up getting Peter Yan. And, you know, Cejudo. We'll see what happens with Cejudo. I mean, I'm sure they'll get – I think they'll end up finding a fight for him. And maybe they even try to do – who knows? Maybe they even try to do Cejudo and Merab, you know. I think that could happen.
Yeah, that'll probably be down the road. I'd rather they'll reschedule this fight, man. Put it on another card. Let these two go at it. Both of them are, I want to say I know they're top six. At least both of them ranked in the top six, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Vera is six. Henry Cejudo is three. So, I wouldn't be mad if they just rescheduled it. But if they gave him Peter Yan, this would definitely maybe if Peter Yan could somehow get a win, it'll probably, you know, maybe see him return to form, or we'll be like what we've been talking about. He was a fluky champion. But, you know, I was just sad to see that Cejudo had to fall out of this match, especially this early out. So he must gonna require surgery. Let's talk about the Bo Nickel replacement. I'm really not feeling this guy that they are replacing Gore with. Let me see. I read something, man. Wilburn is a former Combat Night MMA middleweight champion. 29-year-old fighting out of Florida, debuted as a pro in 2020. Was scheduled to fight in Dana White's contender series. I just don't know about this guy, man. I feel like he's going to be a sacrificial lamb for Bo Nickel. Although he has, I mean, both of them don't really have that many fights. I just don't know, man. I just think taking this fight on this short of a notice, I just don't think it's going to end up well for the youngster. But we shall see. You know, hats off to him for taking the fight on such short notice. And, you know, hopefully he get in there and you know, and we'll be like, man, that guy was tough. That guy put on a good performance on such short notice. So we shall see. How do you feel about them replacing the replacement for Trayshawn Gore for Bo Nickel?
I mean, they wanted to keep Bo Nickel on the card. It's been a while since he fought. I feel like they got to get him on a card. And, I mean, here's another guy that pretty much his fighting style, he's so good that he could be fighting much more often than he fights. You know, he's a similar case as Khamzat, and they're pretty much in a similar boat as, you know, if Bo Nickel didn't get on this card, it's like, is he ever going to fight? Because it's, you've got, you know, both those guys, the guys that dispatch their opponents so quick, like it really doesn't make sense that they're fighting, you know, once every 6 months. It doesn't really, to me, that doesn't really make too much sense. I mean, if they just choose to take the time, I mean, that's different, but if they're just like being held back and like they're not being booked, I don't really understand that game plan, because those are guys that you could be having on way more cards than you have them. You know, I almost feel like Bo Nickel should have already fought. You know what I'm saying? I don't really know why. Like, I don't even remember when his last fight was. I want to say it was like December or something, the last time he fought. And I don't really know why it had to take that long. I feel like he should have at least fought. You know, I would have liked to at least see one fight from him in between, you know, then and now. But I think they wanted to keep him on the card. He fought in March?
Yeah, he fought on the John Jones Cyril Gane card.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought his last fight was in December, but I'm pretty sure whoever he fought, he rolled him in like 2 minutes and didn't even get hit. So I still feel like he could have fought again. I mean, you see these other guys, you see these other guys who are getting hit in these fights. And, you know, you see, like Gilbert Burns just fought 3 times in 5 months. And it's not like he came out unscathed. You know, he dispatched Neil Magny pretty quick. But my whole point is just that he wasn't dominating to the level of Bo Nickel or Hamzat, but you still see him 3 times in 5 months, regardless if he just lost to whoever he just fought. He just lost that most recent fight. But, I think to get back to your point, I think Woodburn, it's probably what you said. He's just going to be a sacrificial lamb, and it's probably just going to be a guy that comes in and, you know, similar to one, if not a couple guys they got for Sean O'Malley on short notice before, and it was really just guys that, you know, they wanted to fill that spot, and they might not even keep them signed to the UFC. So who knows? I mean, apparently it's an undefeated guy, so we'll see what happens. I do think Bo Nickel will win it inside the first round. He'll probably have a quick submission or something like that. And as far as the Cejudo thing, I mean, I'm gonna be in the building, so I definitely would prefer to see Cheeto still fight. I don't want to lose a whole fight from the card. I definitely would want to see that fight stay, being that I'll be in the building. If I wasn't gonna be there, maybe I'd feel a little bit different. I don't know, but I am gonna be there, so yeah, I definitely don't want to be losing any fights off the card. If anything, I want them to be adding fights to the card.
Yeah, they said according to ESPN, it was immediately unclear if Vera will remain on the UFC 292 card. But I'm thinking that they're going to try to find him a replacement. I think they want to leave him on this card. So I think they're going to try to, like you said, probably reach out to Peter Yan. If they can't get Yan, then I think they're going to have to postpone this fight. So I just don't see him fighting somebody that's right below him. And actually, he don't fought basically almost everybody in the division. he done fought O'Malley. He fought Sanhagen. He fought Font. I want to say he fought Young Don. He fought Dominique Cruz. So, yeah, he done basically fought everybody in the top 10. So, I think, like you said, it's either going to be Young or it's going to be a reschedule. But, we shall see what happens, man. We shall see what happens.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm not really sure what has happened. I respond to a lot of things on Twitter, but sometimes I forget the sources that I respond to, what I'm really hearing about and jumping into conversation about. So I'm not really sure as far as everything else. All I know is the UFC 290 stuff is really what I want to ask you about. So I'm just going to ask you about it. And what I want to ask you is this. What happened?
I said, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, so we won't do predictions yet, but I will ask you this, because I was actually texting with my boy while I was at work earlier today, and, you know, we have a bet for the fights, and we're gonna do a best of five for the main card, and sometimes we have to switch off, like, who gets what guy, kind of like what we'd end up doing with DraftKings sometimes. It's like, all right, if I got this guy, you can take that guy. And so basically I have Yair Rodriguez, and I don't expect him to win. I feel like I'm going to lose that round. So I was saying to my boy earlier today, I was like, okay, I feel like there's a 0% chance of Yair Rodriguez winning this fight. So I was like, I might just have to forfeit that round and we can start you off 1-0 in the contest. And yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at with it. But, I do get a little bit dramatic sometimes. So maybe I'm going too far saying that. And that comes to this question: what do you think the percentage? Well, actually, I don't want to ask you a prediction, but what would you say probably is the percentage of chance of Yair Rodriguez beating Volkanovski? And a part B to that question would be, what do you think he needs to bring to the cage to be able to beat Volkanovski? Because my thought on it is basically, when I look at Yair Rodriguez, I really don't see anything that's that much, that is too much different than what we see in the 145 division. Most of these guys are striking, are striker styles. You know, you see that much. There's like maybe a little bit of wrestling in 145. You know, some guys, you know, BJJ, especially when, you know, Oliveira was down there, you had, you know, you had that threat. But there's really not that much down there. You really just see a lot of striking styles, see a lot of stand-up styles. I feel like Guy Rodriguez fits, he's like a lot of these guys, you know what I'm saying? I don't really see, like, anything too scary that he brings to the table. He has good submissions. I mean, we saw him versus Josh Emmett, but, I mean, what did he have before that? He had, like, a, you know, Brian Ortega had a freak injury, and that was Guy Rodriguez's, you know, win prior to that. So I don't really know. He hasn't really – so I'm going to just ask you that. One, what do you think is the percentage chance Yair Rodriguez can get it done versus Volkanovski? Because I feel like he's climbing up a huge mountain to try to get it done. I really feel he is fighting an uphill battle. And two is, what do you think he has to bring to the cage to be able to get it done? How does he do it different than the guys Volkanovski has already fought?
I think what he has, I give him a 5% chance because this is the fight game, and all it takes is one punch, you know, and it, everybody got a puncher's chance. So I give him a 5% chance of winning. But I think the thing he's going to have to do is he can't make it a stand-up fight. He's going to have to take Volkanovski down, wrestle him, try to submit him. You know, he's going to have to be on top of his – he's going to need the ultimate ground game to beat Volkanovski, man. I just don't see Yair having the stand-up game, because if you look at what Max Holloway did to Yair Rodriguez, and Max, he hasn't beaten Volkanovski, so you got to say that Volkanovski probably can do the same thing to Yair Rodriguez. But Yair, man, I mean, he's okay on the mat, but he's going to have to be on top of his game. I'm looking at the stats, takedown average. Actually, Volkanovski is at 1.5. Yair Rodriguez is at 0.80. Volkanovski's takedown accuracy is at 34%. Yair's is at 28%. So, man, it's just, the numbers are definitely in Volkanovski's favor. But if Yair can make it a wrestling match, I think he stands a better chance, man. But we've seen Volkanovski basically stuff Islam's wrestling game and basically force Islam to be in a stand-up fight. So Volkanovski has good takedown defense. But if Yair can some kind of way, man, can find a way to take him down repeatedly and keep him down and maybe bounce him off his or, you know, sneak in a submission, that's his best chance of winning this fight, bro. And I give him a 5% chance once again. Because of, you know, it's a fight game. Anything can happen.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, that's a similar way that I feel about Pantoja and fighting Brandon Moreno. That's a similar thing. And, you know, we'll get to that. And we'll get to that pretty soon here, but yeah, I think Gary Rodriguez, I definitely don't think that the Yair Rodriguez that we just saw beats Volkanovski, you know. I mean, they both just fought on that same card, the Volkanovski and Islam card. You know, I thought it was so dope when they set that up as the co-main event. And I remember at that time saying that, okay, they're pretty much trying to set this up for Volkanovski, so no matter which way it pans out, you know, Volkanovski will have his next fight, and if not, you still have you know, an interim champion at featherweight, so you can kind of have them fight a guy or whatever. You can kind of still set both divisions up. And, you know, if Volkanovski loses, you have his next fight at featherweight. And that's pretty much what happened. And, yeah, I don't know. I think it's so funny that I said 0% and you're saying 5%.
Yeah, because it's the fight game. Anything can happen. Punches, chance.
Yeah, that's,
you know, injury, knock to stop it.
And,
you know, there's a lot of fluky stuff that can happen. So that's why I say 5%.
And that's okay. I'm looking at it like it's pretty funny because we're going 0% and 5%, y'all. I just don't know, man. I don't know what he's going to be able – I feel like Yair Rodriguez is just one of these featherweights, you know. Like, he's just one of these striking-style featherweights. It's like people – I've seen people talking on Twitter a lot about, like, oh, you know, Yair's kicks, you know what I mean? His kick game is going to be problems for Volkanovski, and it's like, how? I mean, how? How do you figure that? You know, it's like, what have you seen – to suggest that that's going to give him a problem. Like, what – I like what you said. It's, if Yair Rodriguez wants to have success in this fight, I don't think it's going to be standing in front of Volkanovski. I don't think that's going to be the way to do it. You know, I think he would have to come in with some wrestling and hope to tap Volkanovski. I think that's really the best thing that he can do here. I'm sure his camp would disagree with that. I don't really know what – I haven't seen it, what they're – I mean, obviously you don't give away your game plan, but I haven't really – I'm sure they feel like they can win the fight from every angle, you know, and you should feel that way. But I definitely think it's a tall task. I definitely think there's a tall task there. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm thinking about – And I'll ask you this. This is actually a bonus question. Before we start getting into predictions here, I want to ask you this. So I know you're not a betting man, but I want to ask you this. So this I'm thinking about, and I was watching James Lynch last night. You know James Lynch?
Yeah.
James Lynch was actually – shout out to James Lynch. Quick point here. Shout out to James Lynch because I think it's so real. So I watch all his stuff. You know, he's another guy that I watch a lot of his stuff. You know, I watch Chael Sonnen and I watch Dan Hardy's breakdowns. You know, I watch a lot of these guys, and James Lynch has definitely become somebody that I've been watching really frequent here lately. And shout out to him because I was actually telling one of my coworkers earlier today, wasn't James Lynch, when I know you still write for The Scrap, but when we were both writing for The Scrap, wasn't James Lynch – with us on, wasn't he with The Scrap at one point?
I want to say yes.
I think he was, because I remember seeing his name in the chat, and I didn't really know who he was as much. And then once I knew it was Lynch on Sports, and then once I started seeing his YouTube, I was like, oh, this is that guy. I want to say this is the same guy. So shout out to James Lynch. It's pretty surreal to think about that sometimes, that, you know, we were on the same you know, we were writing for the same magazine, same blog at the same time. That dude, he puts out a lot of good content. So shout out to him. And what I want to say is that, you know, I have a 6-fight parlay that I want to do, and it starts with the 5 fights on the main card, and then the Jack Della Maddalena fight, which I think is on the prelims. I don't know how exactly they're doing the bout order. I want to say that one's probably either the prelim co-main or the prelim main event, Jack Della Maddalena. I know he has a different opponent. I'm pretty sure he has a different opponent now, too. I think they had to change out his opponent because his opponent had fallen out. But, it would be Maddalena, Bo Nickel, Jalen Turner, Moreno, and Volkanovski. And, yes, I did just give you all my picks. But that didn't give you the breakdown. We're going to do the predictions and the breakdown starting here in a minute or two. But I just want to ask you first, how do you feel about those 6 picks for this card? Would you lean towards yes or no?
Yeah, I'll probably take Maddalena, of course, Bo Nickel. Jalen Turner for sure. Whitaker for sure. Moreno for sure. Volkanovski definitely. I think the toughest fight in here might be the Brandon Moreno fight. That might be the toughest one. You know, but I think those six fights, yeah, I would go with all six of those guys. I would definitely, I probably would have put Nico Price. I would have probably would have went with the Nico Price fight over the Maddalena fight because I think Nico is going to beat Robbie Lawler down. So, but yeah, I like those. I like your picks, bro.
Yeah, and you know, just to explain what I was saying before, the reason why I was bringing up James Lynch is that I meant to say that he actually picked those six guys in his predictions last night. I was watching his video before I went to bed, and those were his six picks. I think those are also all six of those guys are favorites. So you're just really picking all the favorites. But I didn't get those six. I was already thinking that for the parlay, and then when I watched the video, I'm like, let me see what James Lynch thinks. And then he picked those six guys, and I was like, damn, okay. So I'm feeling, you know, a little bit better about that after that, too. And you're saying maybe
yeah,
switch
all,
the – they all sound
yeah, they
pretty
all
good.
Favorite. They all favorite, yeah. He picked all the favorites.
So you're saying, you know, maybe change out, take off Maddalena and put Nico Price on there.
I think Nico Price is going to beat Robbie Lawler, man. But if you look at it, Maddalena is a bigger favorite than Nico Price is a -250 and Robbie Lawler is a +205. And Maddalena is a -900 and Hearn is a +600, -900 for Maddalena, +600 for Hearn. So, yeah, I would just stick with Maddalena, man. They know something about this Nico Price Robbie Lawler fight that evidently we must not know, because they got this kind of close for me.
Oh, it's so funny because I was actually it's funny you say that because I have a guy, there's a guy on Twitter that I've been following lately, and he was saying something like that the other day, like about a lot of these games and a lot of fights where the odds are just like, it's strange how close the odds are, especially in games where you feel like maybe it shouldn't be, pretty much like what you're saying with Robbie and Nico, and you're like, damn, how is Robbie Lawler a +205? And I mean, this is his retirement fight. They're saying this is his retirement fight. He said this is his last fight, I guess. So, you know, he hasn't really looked that good, you know, in years. And, you know, for him to be only +205, you know, it's like you said, maybe somebody knows something. Maybe they know something we don't, because you would think that he would be a bigger underdog.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but, man, Bo Nickel was like -2800, and the guy that he fight is a +1300. Wow.
Yeah, Bo Nickel, I mean, yeah. Well, actually, I want to say when I was – wait, what did you say? He's a minus what, Bo Nickel? What is
– Bo Nickel is a -2800, and the guy he's fighting is +1300.
Wow. Wow. That's the biggest – I mean, we've seen Shevchenko with some odds like that in some of her fights, but that's the biggest favorite I've seen in a while. Okay, let's look at this. Where do you want to start at? I mean, I think it's about time, people. We got to jump into predictions. I know I just low key gave my predictions right there. Those, but you know, we're gonna do some breakdown here too. Where do you want to start at? You want which fight you liking? You want to skip Maddalena because we really don't even know the guy. Yeah, I don't really like that one. We don't even know him.
Hey, but before we do that, let me ask you this: which fight or fighter are you going to have your eye on this card? Which fight or fighter are you going to be like, I got to watch this? I got to watch him or her?
It's honestly, man, they're both main card fights, bro. The biggest fight, I mean, Volkanovski and Yair is definitely, that's the fight, you know. But I would say, honestly, Whitaker and Dreyfus, Whitaker and Duplessis is probably, that's really the one, man. It's probably that in the main event. I think Whitaker, you know, I think I have my eye on the most. You know, I'm really looking forward to this. I like the way that he said, he's like, yo, I'm, you know, Whitaker said he thinks people are underrating Duplessis, which, you know, all power to him. You know, I could tell he's locked in. And, you know, I was reading a quote from him earlier today. And so, yeah, I think I'm really watching Whitaker and Duplessis. That's the number one. And then number two is Volkanovski and Yair Rodriguez. Those are like number one and number two interchangeable.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm on my own two guys, man. Jalen Turner going against Dan Hooker. Jalen Turner, if he's what we think he is, he should smoke Dan Hooker in this one. I mean, it should, even if it go to a decision, it should be 30-27. Or, you know, maybe he sneak a 10-8 round in there. I'm looking at Jalen Turner, and for some strange reason, man, this Jimmy Crute Alonzo Minifield fight is jumping off my screen right now. I know their last fight was a draw, good fight. So I want to see, can they do it again? Can they give me another good fight? And, you know, 12-3 for Crute, 12-3-1 for Crute, 13-3-1 for Minifield. So, hey, let's see, can they give us another good fight, man? So, yeah, I want to see the Crute-Minifield fight, and I want to see Jalen Turner put on a good performance, a dominating performance.
And I want to say, too, that I think Alonzo Minifield being a plus 100 is another interesting line, because I feel like Jimmy Crute is a guy I'm a fan of, but I think he's good, but I want to say he's probably not as good as I thought he was at one point. And, you know, some of his recent, he didn't really climb up the way that I thought he was gonna, you know, a couple of years ago. I feel like I was definitely high on, I wouldn't say high on him, but he was a guy that I definitely had my eye on pretty closely a couple of years ago, and he didn't really climb up the way that I thought he would, but I do think Alonzo Minifield at plus 100, I think Minifield can beat Jimmy Crute. So it's interesting that, I mean, people say it's basically a pick 'em when the odds are that close, but this isn't literally a pick 'em. You know, it's like Minifield is a slight underdog. But I think this should probably be like a minus 115, minus 105 situation. I think both of these guys can beat each other.
Yeah, that's just based on the last fight. The last fight was a draw, so, but I think this is close to a pick'em because it's minus 125 for Poop, plus 105 for Minifield, so it's kind of close to being a pick'em, but I don't see why Crew would be favorite in this fight, because I want to say I had Minifield winning that last fight. I think I had him winning, but I wasn't mad that it was a draw. So, yeah. You know what? Probably by the time the card starts, it might be closer to a pick'em. So you know how the odds change, like, as sometimes the closer you get to the fight. So it might get close to a pick'em by the time we get to it.
Yeah. I could see that happening because, like I said, I do think both those guys can beat each other. I wouldn't really say from what I've seen that either one is noticeably better than the other. I mean, I've seen some pretty good performances and okay performances from both guys. So, yeah, I think it's a good fight. I'm glad they're rematching after what know, what happened in the last one. But yeah, I do want to let's you know. Okay, it's 9:10. What we got? I don't think I want to predict that one. I don't want to predict Madalena because we don't even know Josiah Harrell. Or
we just start with the
Bobby Lawler and Nico. Yeah, I don't really like that one either. I mean, honestly, let's just start with Jalen and Dan Hooker, man. I don't really think. I mean, Bo Nickel, we don't even know Val Woodburn. Like, and honestly, I'll just put it out there just for the sake of it. We could say we did. Bo Nickel, first round, probably submission. I think I like first round submission. I think this guy just comes in and gets rolled. I think it's pretty much what you said. He's going to be a sacrificial lamb, pretty much. And that's just it. How do you feel about that one?
Either first round submission or first round TKO. I don't see Dan. I don't see Bo Nickel being tested in this fight at all. Like I said, I would have rather them just reschedule the Trayshawn Gore fight for later. Bo Nickel, basically, you know, he fought in March, so basically getting him to fight twice in 1 year, I think the UFC could have waited. But, yeah, I got Bo Nickel, man. Either first-round submission or first-round TKO. I think it's going to be light work.
All right, and let's just go. We're going to go. We got a new type of fighter here. We don't really know what to expect. We got blonde Dan Hooker. This is the one factor that has me a little bit nervy about this fight is the fact that he dyed his hair blonde. And I'm being completely serious. Like, I really don't know how I have my, I don't know if you call it superstitions, or I have my, you know, suspicions about, you know, the hairstyle changes. You know, we saw bald Ortega, bald Volkanovski. We saw blonde Oliveira. Since the time Oliveira dyed his hair blonde, he started dominating. It was pretty much at that time, or if not a little bit before it, blonde Oliveira turned into basically a mythical fighter. And now Dan Hooker dyed his hair blonde, and he was saying that this is the start of a new era for him, or a new thing for him. Jalen Turner is a guy that we've been talking about for a good while here, and I think he's on the come up. I think he's a sleeper in the division, you know. I think his last fight, I want to say he fought Mateus Gamrot, his last fight. I think that was a pretty good fight. I want to say Gamrot was locking Jalen up against the fence a lot in that fight, and he wasn't really, which was a good game plan from Gamrot. You know, you don't really want to have Jalen Turner letting his hands go, and you really don't want to just stand there and strike with him. I think Jalen Turner will beat Blonde Hooker, though. Blonde Hooker, you know, may very well look good. I think Jalen Turner is, like I said, I think he's a sleeper in the division. I think he's diverse. I do think that he could improve his ground game, but I think that he'll come into this fight knowing that, okay, this is pretty much a stand-up guy, and I think we might just see that kind of fight anyways. I think we will see them stand and bang, but I don't know. Blonde Hooker might surprise us. He might shoot for a takedown in the opening exchange. And I think, I hope Jalen Turner had improved his ground game. I hope that we will see some new things from Jalen Turner, especially if Dan Hooker watched the footage from the last fight and how Gamrot was able to slow Jalen Turner down, locking him up against the fence. But I think we will see improvements, and I'm going to say Jalen Turner TKOs Dan Hooker midway through the second round.
Oh, man. New hair, same guy. I'll never pick Dan Hooker to win a fight, man. I'm taking Jalen Turner to win this fight. Like I said, Jalen Turner needs to dominate this fight. He needs to let everybody know that he's on the come up. And the best way to let people know you're on the come up is by dominating Dan Hooker. I say Jalen Turner, he don't get the finish, but I say he wins overwhelmingly on the judges' scorecard. So I'm taking Hold on. What's that? All right. So yeah, man, I'm taking Jalen Turner, unanimous decision against Dan Hooker, man. New hair, same Dan Hooker.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be one of our quotes. I'm about to quote that on the channel. He said, new hair, same Dan Hooker. That's gonna have to be a quote. I think we're gonna get that. I like that. And we'll see. But yeah, Jalen Turner, I think, you know, he's on the come up in the division. So get a win here, and you know, he'll be on his way to some big fights after this one, I think. And next one, let's go. What do we got? We got Robert Whittaker, Duplessis. Oh my God. Okay, number two, Robert Whittaker. I'd say my favorite fighter in the UFC. This is our boy versus number five, Drakus Duplessis. -410 favorite Robert Whittaker, +310 Duplessis. I'm gonna let you kick this one off if you're ready.
I'm ready. I think this is probably gonna be the most. I think this fight and the Moreno fight is going to be probably the most highly contested fights, most competitive fights. I'm a Bobby Knuckles fan, man, a.k.a. Robert Whittaker, man. I'm a big fan of his, man, and he never disappoints in big fights, except, you know, the first fight against Izzy. I didn't recognize who that guy was in the octagon. But ever since that fight, he's corrected, righted that wrong, and he's been more the guy that we grew to love. And I think he overwhelms Duplessis in this fight. I don't think Duplessis has fought anybody close to on the level of Robert Whittaker. I'm going to say Robert Whittaker wins this fight. I want to go with the key special, but I'm going to show Duplessis some respect. And I'm going to say Duplessis survives, but he loses unanimous decision to Robert Whittaker.
And I'm going with the same pick. I'm going Robert Whittaker, unanimous decision. And I think it's going to be a landslide. You know, I feel like this is going to be a pretty serious project in this fight. One thing I have said about Drakus Duplessis is that I am a fan of his trash talk. I like the fact that he believes in himself and he's like, you know, already calling out Israel Adesanya. You know, he's saying that he's going to shock the world versus Robert Whittaker. That's the way, to me, that's how you should believe. You know what I mean? You should have belief in yourself to that level. And I like the trash talk. I like that he's competitive. You know, that's what I always say. I would like to see more in the UFC. But, you know, unfortunately, the trash talk can't fight for him. And that's what we're going to see in there. You know, Robert Whittaker is going to put on a master class here. And I think a problem that Duplessis is going to run into is that this is just such a huge jump in competition that, I mean, what are his two best wins in the UFC? Darren Till and Blon Brunson. So Darren Till and Blon Brunson, that's pretty sad. That's two guys that are pretty much, I mean, I don't want to say Blon Brunson is washed. He's not washed, but, I mean, he's definitely up there in age. Darren Till, I don't even know what happened to Darren Till. He was really good years ago, and then he just completely fell off. So that's not the Darren Till that it was 5 years ago. So I don't really put much stock into that win. And Blon Brunson, I mean, Blon Brunson just looked pretty much terrible on the night. You know, both of them really looked terrible. To further that, and honestly, I would bet on this. I really would bet on this. I think Robert Whittaker would have beaten both of them that night. I think he would beat them both. If he fought both of those guys in the same night, have them fight Blon Brunson, and they give him, you know, an hour of rest or whatever you want to do, a couple hours, have him fight Duplessis, he would have destroyed both of them that night in the same night. So Because really, they both were so bad in that fight. I remember saying to my boy, like, this is terrible. These guys suck. Like, I just couldn't. And Blon Brunson was on a run for a while, but he did not show up that night. He completely gassed out. I don't know what happened. He was exhausted. It was like they both came with 5 minutes of work, and then were just – the tank was gone in the beginning of that second round or whatever it was. And they just – those guys – man, they that was not a championship-level fight. Oh, my God. So, yeah, I think Robert Whittaker, that was terrible. So, I think Robert Whittaker, you know, his cardio, we know how he can go. You know, we know he can go five rounds, and he could probably do six, seven, eight rounds. You know, he could probably do 10 rounds. Whittaker is one of the best cardios in the UFC, and he never really looks that tired, you know, even in, like, the fourth, fifth round versus Romero, he didn't look that tired. You could tell they were both tired, but it wasn't. He doesn't look like most other guys at that point in the fight, you know, and he looks like he could put more rounds in. So I would say the cardio is going to be a shock to Duplessis. I don't think he's ready for that. And I actually wish it was a five round fight because I would have liked to have seen Whittaker drag him into the deep, you know, and then see where he's at then. But yeah, I think Duplessis will probably come out heavy in the first round. And I think, you know, he's not going to have much left in the second. And Whittaker is just probably going to dominate rounds two and three. I mean, he'll look good in round one, too. But I think he'll let Duplessis, you know, throw himself out in the first round. Then round two and three, you're just going to see absolute domination. And, yeah, that's going to be what that is. So Robert Whittaker, unanimous decision. And second, what do we got? Brandon Moreno.
Alexander Pantoja.
Alexander Pantoja. This is a guy that I was looking forward to Pantoja fighting for the belt, man. I remember saying it. I don't know if it was his last win or the one before that, but I remember saying, like, damn, that dude's good. Yeah, he's got some great submissions. This guy is dangerous on the ground, bro. He is dangerous. Yeah. And I'm interested to see if his hands will hold up against Moreno or if he just tries to take this fight to the ground right away. That's what I'm interested in finding out here. Who are you liking in this fight, though?
Oh, man. You know, they said it was a rematch, but the last time they fought was a team. That was like 5 years ago. So, you know, both these guys are, you know, they ain't not the same fighters they weren't 5 years ago. I'm going with the champ, man. I'm going with Brandon Moreno, man. I think when you look at what he's done to get the way he at, the guy just keeps getting better and better. And you don't know how he's going to finish you. Is he going to submit you? Is he going to knock you out? You know, he has a vast amount of weapons and ways of winning fights. Just can't load up as the opponent on one thing. So with that being said, I got Brandon Moreno, and I'm going to say Brandon Moreno finishes this fight with a third-round submission.
So basically, you're going with the cousin of the key special.
Yeah, the cousin submission. Of the key special. Yep.
That's the cousin, bro, the third-round submission, third-round TKO. Okay, so I think what we'll probably see is this. I feel like Moreno is aware of and this is not to say that Moreno is not dangerous on the ground, too. He definitely is. I mean, he's definitely – both these guys are dangerous on the ground. I'm not saying that because what I'm leading in to say is that I don't think the fight will be on the ground. I think Moreno will keep the fight standing and is going to butcher Pantoja on the feet. I think that's what I expect to happen. And like I said, we know that they're both dangerous. We saw how quick Moreno did Figueiredo in the second fight, you know. His submission game is crazy, too. Both of it, Pantoja's is crazy, too. I think that'll be where he'll want to take this fight. I think if you want to have, you know, your best chance of winning here, I think Pantoja wants to take this fight to the ground because he knows Moreno's cardio is great. You know, he just fought, what, like three or four or five-round fights versus Figueiredo. Like, this dude is a machine, and his boxing is really good too. That bro can go. So I don't think Pantoa really wants to just keep the fight, you know, standing right in front of Moreno. I think he'll look to take him down. I think if he does get him down, which I don't know for sure that he does get Moreno down, but if he does get him down, you know, we'll see what happens. I think Moreno will do fine. But in the first place, I don't think he lets the fight go to the ground. I think he'll stop the takedown, keep it on the feet, and I think he'll just pick away at Pantoa on the feet. I think he'll butcher him. And I'm going to predict a stoppage in this fight. I think he'll stop Pantoja. I'm going to go with the T special. I think it's going to be a third round, I think late third round TKO for Brandon Moreno. I think so. And on that note, man. After the moment,
yep.
Alexander Volkanovski versus Yair Rodriguez, man. Oh, man, these are the times when I really appreciate the fact that we still do interim belts, because when you look at the graphic and you look at all the posters, it's just so much more – it's so much more interesting when you see a belt on both guys. You know, I love the idea of a unification fight. That's one thing that's one thing that really has stuck out to me over the years. I love a good unification fight, you know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, let's bring this down to one belt, you know? That's what we need to be doing. We need to be condensing the belts. You know what I mean? That's what boxing needs to be doing. They need to condense those belts to get the unification fight going. But that's a whole nother story, a whole nother show. Yeah. So Alexander Volkanovski, Yair Rodriguez. I touched on it a little bit earlier. I really don't think there's anything. Yair Rodriguez. I don't think it. Like, people are talking about his kicks. Like, I understand, but like, where have you seen? What have you seen from Yair Rodriguez? Where have you seen him be so dominant that, like, you really think that's going to be a problem? Like, what? I haven't even really seen the performances. I mean, he fought almost 25 minutes with the Korean Zombie. He knocked him out in, like, I think with 0 seconds on the clock with a spinning back fist, which is, like, an all-time great highlight reel in the UFC. So I give him a ton of credit for that. But, the guy is durable, you know what I'm saying? But then again, when he fought 3 rounds versus Max Holloway, Max Holloway pushes a pretty crazy pace on you. So it makes me wonder if that was the difference between Yair fighting 5 rounds with Zombie and Yair fighting 3 rounds versus Max Holloway, where Yair only looked good in the first round to me. I feel like Yair, you know, they had a competitive first round. And I feel like Max Holloway completely took over rounds 2 and 3. And you could see that Yair, he was visibly tired in the second round. So I just don't see what he can do with Volkanovski. I really don't. They say Yair's kick game, but I feel like Volkanovski has a great kick game too. I mean, he's a guy that brought up the whole calf kick conversation that we talk about now. We talk about the calf kick. Some people say they should ban the calf kicks. That comes from Volkanovski. I mean, he's a guy that really – not the only one, but he's a guy that is really running. He's really doing that in the game right now, and he really mixes it up. You know, his movement is really good, man. That guy is hard to. I mean, he's hittable, but he just does so many different things. He hits you in so many different areas. He does damage to the body. He does damage everywhere. The guy is he's a machine, and his cardio is great. He's going to be in there for 25, and I just don't think Yair presents anything that makes me worry in this fight. You know what I mean? He has great submissions, but hey, if it came down to that, we saw how Volkanovski dealt with Brian Ortega, you know, probably the best submission guy in the featherweight division, probably one of the best submission guys in the UFC. So he was in those submissions and we didn't see him tap. You know, I don't even know how he got out of some of those submissions, but clearly he's not going to go out that easy. You know what I mean? I just don't see what Yair can do for him. I think Volkanovski will just pick him apart through 25 minutes on the feet. And I don't know, man. I think I want to say unanimous decision, but I think Volkanovski can stop him. I think so. I think Volkanovski can stop him, especially if Yair comes on really heavy early in the fight like he did versus Holloway. Like, I think if his fight with Max was 5 rounds, I think Max would have finished him, because especially if you see the way both of their faces looked after. Vieira was he was hurting, man. Max beat him up pretty good. I think if that was five rounds, you would have seen Max either with a fourth or fifth round stoppage, probably a TKO or maybe a doctor stoppage in the championship round. And I think that's what you'll see in this fight. I think you'll end up seeing I'm going to go TKO and possibly doctor stoppage in – I'm going to say the fifth round. I'm going to say Volkanovski – how about this? I'm going to say Volkanovski fifth round TKO, possibly doctor stoppage. And still, which then sets up the Islam rematch whenever they want to get that going.
I say and still, I say Volkanovski fourth round TKO. I think Yair is going to try to make it a fight, but Volkanovski is just on another level, man. And I have to shout out our boy Evan, man, because me and you was definitely on the Max Holloway train, and Evan was all on Volkanovski. Volkanovski is Volkanovski that, both this, both that. And, man, he turned out to be right, man. And, you know, Volkanovski has definitely gotten better. You know, he's shown that there is no style of fighting that he can't adjust to, you know. Yair, it just ain't your time, bro. You know, Volkanovski, man, TKO fourth round, and still he makes it look easy. And, you know, I think it sets up Volkanovski, and I'm thinking Charles Oliveira is going to beat Islam in the next fight. So I think we get Volkanovski versus Charles Oliveira, man. So, hey, I'm going with Volk on fourth round TKO.
Hey, and I didn't actually, you know what? I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think of that hard. What I should have said was, which sets up Volkanovski versus the winner of Islam versus Oliveira, if they make that fight, because I have not really heard much about it since you know, Oliveira won his last fight. I heard about it, and then I really haven't seen anything in the pipeline about it. But if they do make the fight, the winner of that fight, you know, we'll see. Because I think Volkanovski walks out and probably gets that one later in the year. But anyways, hey, we covered a lot tonight. Also, I want to double down on that. Shout out to Evan, because one thing that I don't know if I ever got to tell this to Evan, but he was right about when I was debating him with the build-up, you know, back last October. We were debating about, like, if Volkanovski had trained the wrestling, and I was saying, like, there's nothing he's going to be able to do with Islam. And Evan was like, yeah, but just because we haven't seen it in the cage doesn't mean he's not training it behind the scenes. And I was like, all right, but we can't go off that, and we haven't seen it. Like, how can you say that? And Evan was right. You know, clearly he was putting in the work behind the scenes, and we just hadn't seen it in the cage, because the way he looked versus Islam, he was the first fighter to basically stalemate the Dagestani MMA style. So Evan was definitely right in that debate, and I feel like I didn't get to tell him that, but here it is saying it now. You were right, bro, and I apologize for being, you know, coming on too strong and going off on that topic and saying that he you know, wasn't going to do what he did. So, yeah, shout out to Evan for sure. And thank you to everybody for listening. Lee, the floor is yours. You know, I've talked a whole bunch here. I don't want to be hogging the microphone for too long. The floor is yours. Sorry, and my last
– there you go. Go ahead.
And my last words before I pass it to you is very simple. Life is short. Love each other. Take care of your mental health, because if your mental health isn't right, everything else pretty much falls behind it. Everything else can pretty much fall apart after that. You get your mental health right, everything else can pretty much manifest after that. Everything else can start to flourish after that. So if your internal is feeling good, your external will start to be feeling good, and other things in your life will start to better themselves. But if your internal is not good, other things in your life will start to not be good. You know what I mean? And even if they are, you may not even feel good about them. You might not even, you know, you probably won't even see them the same way. So take care of your mental health. Life is good. Love each other. He's out. The floor is yours.
Yeah, man. Speaking of Evan, man, I texted him the other day. He's doing good. You know, I would try to reach out to him, you know, at least, you know, once every 6 weeks or something like that to make check in on him. But Evan's doing good. But, you know, man, great show tonight, man. We covered a lot. Big fight card this weekend. The chips on the line. And we got a title eliminator. So, hey, everybody, make sure you watch the fights. We'll be back next Wednesday to do a review of 290, give our thoughts of what happened. Hopefully ain't no too much tomfoolery with the referees or the judging. But everybody have a great weekend. Take care of you. Take care of yourselves. And we'll see you next week. And as always, we'll end the show with a peace.